Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Retroactivity, Ineffectiveness of Counsel, and Deportation Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On February 20th, 2013, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Chavez v. United States. The question in this case was whether the court's 2010 decision in Padilla v. Kennedy, which held that a defense attorney's failure to inform a non-citizen criminal defendant of the deportation risk associated with a guilty plea constituted ineffective assistance of counsel under the Sixth Amendment, applies retroactively to convictions made before the 2010 decision. In an opinion delivered by Justice Kagan, the court held by a vote of 7-2 that Padilla does not apply retroactively to cases that have reached a final decision on direct review. Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Scalia, Kennedy, Breyer, and Alito joined Justice Kagan's majority opinion. Justice Thomas filed a concurring opinion. Justice Sotomayor filed a dissenting opinion, which was joined by Justice Ginsburg. To discuss the case, we have Richard Myers, who is Associate Dean for Student Affairs, and the George R. Ward Associate Professor of Law at UNC School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Myers.
Hello, I'm Professor Richard Myers from the University of North Carolina School of Law, here to discuss the Supreme Court's decision in Chavez v. United States, decided on February 20, 2013. In Chavez, the Supreme Court was asked to decide whether courts should retroactively apply a rule it announced in an earlier case, Padilla v. Kentucky, requiring defense attorneys to warn their clients when they might be deported as a result of entering a guilty plea. The Chavez majority held 7-2 that Padilla was a new interpretation of the scope of an attorney's duties under the Sixth Amendment and announced a new rule of constitutional criminal procedure. Therefore, it would not apply retroactively. Rosalva Chavez, the petitioner, had previously pled guilty in federal court to two counts of mail fraud arising from a scheme that defrauded an insurance company of $26,000. That case became final in 2004. In 2009, immigration officials initiated deportation proceedings against Ms. Chavez after her application for citizenship alerted the service of the conviction. Under federal immigration law, conviction of a violent or other aggravated felony can lead to the individual being deported or to an otherwise proper petition for naturalization being denied. Chavez claimed that her attorney never warned her that she would face mandatory deportation for pleading guilty and sought to overturn her conviction via what's called a petition for writ of coram nobis. Coram nobis is the vehicle through which an individual no longer in custody can challenge the validity of a prior conviction. While Chavez's petition for coram nobis was pending, the court decided Padilla v. Kentucky in 2010. Padilla held that as a matter of Sixth Amendment law, criminal defense attorneys must inform their non-citizen clients of the risk of deportation arising from guilty pleas. Whether or not the holding in Padilla would help Chavez depended on whether or not Padilla stated a new rule of constitutional law or was simply a new application of an old rule. Chavez argued that the Padilla case was simply an extension into a new context of the holding of Strickland v. Washington, which held that legal representation violates the Sixth Amendment if it falls below, quote, an objective standard of reasonableness, close quote, as indicated by prevailing professional norms, and the defendant suffers prejudice as a result. Whether Padilla announced a new rule was important because new rules, except in rare cases not relevant to this case, do not apply retroactively. That means they will decide new cases, but not cases that were final before the new rule is announced. These retroactivity questions are governed by a test stated by the Supreme Court in an earlier case, Teague v. Lane. As Justice Kagan put it in Chavez, Teague makes the retroactivity of our criminal procedure decisions turn on whether they are novel. When we announce a new rule, a person whose conviction is already final may not benefit from the decision in a habeas or similar proceeding. Only when we apply a settled rule may a person avail herself of the decision on collateral review. Here, Chavez filed her coram nobis petition 5 years after her guilty plea became final. Her challenge therefore fails if Padilla is declared a new rule. To decide that question, the court had to return to its holding in Padilla to see what it had actually done. In Padilla, one key question was whether deportation was sufficiently related to the criminal case to implicate the Sixth Amendment right to counsel at all. Remember, the Sixth Amendment starts with a proviso in all criminal cases before it guarantees the right to counsel. The court in Chavez held that this was a novel question at the time it was considered in Padilla, because the lower courts had uniformly held that deportation was a, quote, collateral consequence, close quote, of the conviction, and therefore attorneys were not required to give advice about it to meet their Sixth Amendment obligations under Strickland versus Washington. Therefore, as Justice Kagan wrote, the court's answer, yes, Strickland governs here, required a new rule. The state and lower federal courts had been left to deal with the issue, and they almost unanimously concluded that the Sixth Amendment does not require attorneys to inform their clients of a conviction's collateral consequences, including deportation. All 10 federal appellate courts that consider the question decided, in the words of one, that, quote, counsel's failure to inform a defendant of the collateral consequences of a guilty plea is never a violation of the Sixth Amendment, close quote. That constitutional guarantee, another typical decision expounded, assures an accused of effective assistance of counsel in criminal prosecutions. Accordingly, advice about matters like deportation, which are not a part of or enmeshed in the criminal proceeding, does not fall within the amendment's scope. Appellate courts in almost 30 states agreed. This virtual unanimity was important because it led the court in Chavez to conclude that the holding in Padilla had stated a new rule of constitutional criminal procedure, and therefore was not to be applied retroactively. Because the rule was new, Chavez lost, and her conviction was allowed to stand. The dissenters in the case, Justice Sotomayor and Justice Ginsburg, accepted Chavez's version of the case and would have held that Padilla was simply an extension of the Strickland standard to a new factual context. They pointed to a line of cases holding that affirmative misstatements regarding deportation consequences had been deemed ineffective assistance under the Strickland test, and argued that those cases established that the Sixth Amendment already applied to deportation advice. Unfortunately for Chavez, that view mustered only 2 votes. So, what are the long-lasting consequences of Chavez? First, actual Padilla claims will be available only to defendants whose cases became final after Padilla was decided, so the floodgates have not opened to a string of old cases. Given that record-keeping by defense counsel and prosecutors might not have made litigation over the scope of the advice given possible, had Chavez gone the other way, one practical consequence would have been relitigation of many cases, where reopening them for trial would have been incredibly difficult. Given that counsel in those cases would have been following the rules at the time and not giving the advice, this seems to be a just result. Second, the Chavez court's focus on the Sixth Amendment question in Padilla means that the retroactivity analysis for other types of collateral consequences claims is likely to be treated the same way. There's a whole class of cases where the lower courts have drawn that Sixth Amendment line fencing off collateral consequences and said that counsel need not address them. Applying the Chavez logic, those convictions are probably safe from retroactive collateral attack in the event that the court eventually extends the scope of the Sixth Amendment to require advice on new areas of collateral consequences. And it's not clear that the Padilla ruling will be extended to sweep in new classes of cases where attorneys offered no advice about collateral consequences other than immigration. We'll have to wait for later cases to address those situations. As Justice Kagan noted, we have never attempted to delineate the world of collateral consequences, nor do we do so here. But other effects of a conviction commonly viewed as collateral include civil commitment, civil forfeiture, sex offender registration, disqualification from public benefits, and disfranchisement. Because all of those collateral consequences might be really important to defendants, we can expect Padilla-style claims to arise in these additional collateral advice contexts. It's important to note that Padilla itself described the deportation cases as unique because they terminate the defendant's relationship with the country altogether, and the deportation result might be considered a, quote, virtually automatic, close quote, result of the aggravated conviction. The limitations on Teague retroactivity that were created in Chavez turn on the Sixth Amendment question. Advice relating to the case itself will continue to be governed by Strickland versus Washington, even if they offer advice about facts never seen before. Justice Kagan was careful to note that when all we do is apply a general standard to the kind of factual consequences it was meant to address, we will rarely state a new rule for Teague purposes. Garden variety applications of the test in Strickland versus Washington for assessing claims of ineffective assistance of counsel do not produce new rules. We can expect further litigation over the absence of advice, and the court continues its reexamination of the scope of the Sixth Amendment itself. 2 cases decided in March of 2012, Lafler v. Cooper and Missouri v. Fry, read in conjunction with Padilla versus Kentucky, suggests that there is significantly more room for judicial intervention in the relationship between defense counsel and the defendant under the guise of the Sixth Amendment than previously thought. Those three cases, taken together, squarely place the courts in the business of regulating the attorney-client advising relationship, including advice regarding whether or not to accept a plea or go to trial, the forecasts of the risks associated with going to trial, and counsel's estimate of the likelihood of conviction, and finally, as was at stake here, the potential collateral consequences of conviction. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.